Guys, wow. Kick ass. Jason, that was super, stupid awesome, man. Thanks, dude.
Oh, okay, good. Great. Well, anytime. I'm a fountain of bullshit, so anytime you want.
Oh, my gosh. I'm not alone in this club.
Four fountains of bullshit into a big, you know.
That's right. Two pounds of bullshit. 10 pounds of bullshit in a 2-pound bag, as we say in Texas.
I'll tell you right now, I've got about 10 gallons of piss in a 2-gallon bladder. It is time to do my weekly draining of the pink pony. Right? I'll be right back.
Yeah. So glad that's a thing we do.
We need a little segment like a... We're all going to the bathroom break segment sound, you know?
When you do have everybody drinking and a show that goes over an hour, it's bound to happen. Well, I should say it's bound to happen with, you know, all you old people. But it's bound to happen with anybody, I suppose.
Wow.
That was just for you, Brad.
Yes, I'm an old... I'm so old. Oh, man.
No, that was fun. I definitely referred to the wrong interview at one point, but that's no big deal. Huh. Uh-huh. Cool. It was just in our sort of list of after-show topics. I do have a bunch of show titles, by the way. I'll wait until Drake gets back. Brad, did you read the community meetup editorial? Because if you did, I'm hoping that you can explain it to me, because I'm not sure I got it. I'm not sure I get it.
Did
I should say I'm not sure.
Well, the way I
understand how it's different than
I don't know if I got it, but I can tell you how I understood it.
I want to know both. Hold on.
So yeah, the article on tdh.me, which is he's a writer for WPMU, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, for them, and he also wrote the Smashing Into WordPress book. I believe that's Thord Daniel Hedengren, which I probably butchered, but I believe that's how you pronounce his name.
Right, so he wrote this blog post essentially saying that there should be local community, WordPress community meetups, which are in response to the Calling All Contributors Community Summit post on .org. Basically what he's saying is that there should be these local meetups set in key locations across the world, not just the U.S., and then every meetup should have one or a few core members present. And the purpose would be to use a collective local mind to produce a short report of what they feel is important in the WordPress community, and then that report would essentially be submitted up the chain in the WordPress world. You know, I think it's a valid idea. Honestly, I think it's one of those ideas that I think the community summit needs to happen first to really see if this is an idea that should happen. You know, it's like the community summit, as far as bringing in outsiders, has not happened yet, ever. So once that happens, I think there might be a good reasoning behind it. Like, all right, well, let's do this in other areas rather than just one spot in Tybee. What is that, Georgia, right? Georgia?
Yep.
You know, let's do, you know, maybe one in the UK, maybe one in Australia. I don't know. Maybe one in Asia, whatever. That's kind of the gist of the post. Like, why not have them all over the place? But in my opinion, I think the community summit needs to happen first. Let's see what comes of it and then see if that's something that we can spread around for an even more beneficial result from it. You know, but it's hard to say if this would be beneficial until we've actually done the community summit and they've brought in, because up until now, the community summit's always been kind of those core contributors, and that's been it, you know? So now they're talking about bringing in kind of outsiders to core contributors, but still, you know, higher ups in the WordPress community as far as contributing in different areas, you know?
Probably a good time to see, did everybody submit their list of, like, umpteen people or whoever you'd recommend for the community summit? Because I did that. I did that at the same time as watching the Pando Monthly thing, I think, with the interview with Molenweg. So I was going through, and every time I was like, oh, man, I have to explain why this person, man. Because I felt like that was for, like, every other person I was recommending. I said, you know, their name, their URL, and why they should be a part of it. It's like, man, I felt like I was writing an essay, like, every two pages on that little survey. But
yeah, it was
got it done.
It was intense because it's like, all right, submit people and then also give us good reasonings why. It's like, all right, I can't just throw some names out there. I have to actually validate these responses. So No, I submitted us as podcast hosts. I think, you know, we're all in tune with the community. Obviously, Ryan, you run the biggest news source for WordPress. Dre runs the biggest security company for WordPress. And I like to think I run the biggest development company for WordPress. So I think we all have a valid reason to be there outside of just the podcast itself. You know, so, and other than that, it'd be a hell of a time. It'd be a lot of fun. So hopefully we all get the invite out there. And I'm anxious to see what happens, you know, what comes of it, whether we're there or not. Like, what actually comes of it? Is it going to be all right, everybody meet up and then nothing comes of it? Or does something actually happen? Does something change because of it? Are things decided because of it? Which I hope they would be. I believe they would be. So it's exciting. So it'll be anxious to see what happens there. And I think it's going to be in beginning of October, if I'm not mistaken. They haven't posted the official date, but I asked Jane on Twitter, and she said, I think it was beginning of October. That's what they're looking at.
Gotcha. Oh, find out about it sooner or later.
Beer.
I hear somebody coming.
Dre turning.
Beer.
I like any podcast with sound effects. That's awesome.
See, now, I think you're the first person ever. Good. You're the first person listening to the show, I think, that's ever thought that. That's what I think. True.
No, I'm the first person who said that. I'm not the first person who thought that. Or they just realized they liked it, but they didn't know why.
They didn't know.
That's what I keep saying.
They woke up. They woke up days after listening, and they go, "Why did I enjoy that so much?" And then that's.
And every good radio program has the sound effects thing. Like that's, and you have like little weird quips from old shows that people who listen to the show all the time get, and all that kind of stuff. Like that's pro right there.
Right, right.
Huh. We will be pro one day. One day. You know, one thing we forgot to mention was our guest for next week.
Oh, we did. We did forget. Well, go for it.
So, yeah, for those here, we've got WordPress's own Sin City bad boy, John Hawkins, better known as Vegas Geek from Nine Seeds, will be on the show next week. I'll be broadcasting myself from Blog World in New York. You know what, Jason, are you guys going to have any folks up there?
We're going to have, like, I don't know, something ridiculous, like 6 or 8 people in New York.
Just made my evening, brother. I hope to meet up with some of the crew over there.
Yeah, it's going to be great. And San Fran, we're sending something also ridiculous, like 16 people or something crazy like that.
To where now?
To San Francisco.
Beautiful. Yeah, that's going to be fun.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. We're getting there like a day early and doing like, you know, I hesitate to say team building because it's so fucking stupid, but... doing shit all day together so that we can just be together and not worry about shit day.
It's harder to fit that on a t-shirt. Needed, man.
It's good morale. Otherwise,
perhaps known as team building, but still.
Call it what you want. That's still awesome.
Yeah.
Being asked in the room, are you guys sponsoring San Francisco?
I think so, but this venture is sufficiently far along that I think we are, and I don't know what level. There's like, there was crazy, but the levels went up to something stupid, like 30 grand or something. And so I don't know. I'm sure we're sponsoring it at some level, and I don't know which one. They probably have clever names that I don't know.
I wouldn't be able to tell you that.
Oh, Krogsgaard was listening to us while running. I'm not sure that our podcast is approved as a running assistant. I don't know. I could be wrong. I just think listening to three or four guys drink and talk about WordPress might not be the best.
Running
in the sounds. You know what I mean?
Talking about motivating, that's probably not the best thing in your ear while you're jogging.
I hope it helps.
I don't know. So what else is going on with you, Jason?
Oh, my God. There's so much shit. It's just... it's like everything's happening at once. It's amazing. We have this cool stuff to announce that over the next couple of months that's going to be neat, but I can't talk about it yet. And there's, you know, press under embargo and all that kind of stuff.
But yeah, you should really throw it out there and tell us that you can't talk about it. It'd be good.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, I'm happy to come back anytime and lay down some more, you know, lay down some more tar. But yeah, I mean, because we're not only growing as a hosting company, but it's not sufficient, I think, for us to be a hosting company because of what I said before, which I think is true, which is as much as, like, you know, we have data to show why we're faster than our competitors and we have much larger customers we can show are more scalable and we use security, so obviously our security story is better, haha. Woo themes notwithstanding with their bizarre backdoor fucking thing, but okay, whatever. we still have more tech support staff who know WordPress per 1,000 customers than anyone else on Earth, and that's pretty cool and sort of demonstrates why tech support is you know, we at least we try to invest in tech support anyway. So, and we have staging areas and Git push to deploy. Did you know that? That you can, like Heroku, you can use Git and push up to us to deploy instead of SFTP. Did you know that?
I heard that. That is just awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And all that sort of thing. So we have a bunch of stuff, but I think so we have all these like incremental reasons why we feel like we're better than our direct competitors, but that's still not sufficient. And I think in order for us to kind of pull a Heroku and sort of be even bigger than a hosting company, or even more interesting, or even more valuable. And I don't mean that in a company way. I mean that to the people who use us. We have to have as good of a story for developers as we have for deployment. So it's things like the staging area and backup and Git push to deploy and that stuff. That's an example of something. I want like a dozen of those things that are that cool.
You know, what'd be kind of cool is seeing some scanning, some security scanning around that those Git.
You know, we have our own little shit scanner that has like 20 things that we've seen that we add little patterns to, and of course it's stupid, and we should use whatever security is using.
I know a guy. I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, but we should do that. And in fact, the way we do the Git push is when the files are pushed to us, it then gets staged into an area, and then we do shit like we fix the file permissions and we, you know, I don't know, we do a bunch of stuff, right? And then we rsync just the pieces that that changed from that commit over to the site, so it's fairly fast and efficient. But there's a staging place where we run stuff. So if we knew what to run from security, like if we had a thing to execute or something, like some kind of callback, we could run at that moment. That moment, we know which files changed. We have that list, and so if we could run a thing before deploying, that would be badass. So I'd love to get some kind of integration at that point. And we have some neat features also coming that I can't talk about quite yet, even though I know the live stream's closed. But even so, that will also use this system. In other words, this system of staging and then deploying, that I think will be 100 times more widely used than Git, because Git is badass. If you're a developer, you're like, sweet, I can Git push, and that's deployment? Oh, my God. And it's great, but like the vast majority of people won't use version control ever. So we have some interesting things coming out around that, and it'll use the system. So if we can, that's just a long way of saying, if we can get that shit integrated into this process, then besides the Git stuff, which is cool already, we have 50 alpha testers at this very moment of the Git deploy stuff, even though we haven't, of course, released it yet. We have something else coming that will use the same system. I'd love to do something like that. It'd be awesome.
I love it. And it's that constant innovation. I mean, people are looking for these type of things, right? It is a different differentiator. The exciting thing to me is the whole space in general, though, or your segment, right, is really having those WordPress knowledgeable people, the people with that experience to be able to drive this. It's a huge difference in going to a GoDaddy, a DreamHost, where maybe they're looking in that area, but they just, to me, they're well far behind in terms of having that tribal knowledge there to be able to really support folks the way that they should be supported. I love it.
Maybe, I mean, you know, again, I don't have bad things to say about our competitors per se. I just, just like Vid says, I say too, we're just trying to be the best that we can be with the sort of vision we have for what we want to become. And I really believe everything. There's no bullshit about, I think we're three whales in an ocean eating krill. We don't have to fight each other and slap each other in the ass. Like, we can just eat krill and try to be really good. And I don't think there's any need to shit on each other or fight over customers or anything like that. And I know that Vid shares that feeling. And it's not that anyone's not good at it. It's just like we just want to have the best support we can. Part of that means staffing and training and that kind of stuff. And but there's other parts of that too, obviously. And same thing with the dev tools. Like, we just want to do good stuff. I know that Zippy Kid's working on some cool stuff, so that's cool. And as far as I'm concerned, like, this is just good for everybody. Like, good. Let's have all these fuckers compete over who's got the fastest this and the best development platform. Good. Go fucking do something good so that and compete so that there's just good things available for everyone. This is a good thing.
Yep. Yes, sir. Plenty I think it's going to continue to move, too.
Yeah, well, I hope so. Got a lot of humans to feed.
Oh, no doubt about it. We're not growing as quickly as you guys are. But I same sentiment here. There's no shortage of when we mentioned this earlier in the show, the supply and demand is definitely off right now. And I know in our world, there's no shortage of problems in the security space. So we're going to be able to continue to help people as we move forward. And we're trying to do a lot of the same stuff in terms of differentiating and really solving problems that have been existing for a long time. It's good stuff.
Oh, you guys are just getting started. And I think you should have an enterprise offering. I think there's big companies that will pay big money, and you need to take things like for them. You need to take their MSAs and their fucking POs and all that stupid shit, but you can charge them thousands and thousands of dollars. I think they'll be happy to pay that. And then there's people like us who will pay for stuff. And, you know, I mean, you guys are just getting going. Everybody needs this to some degree. And you already have plans that are accessible to people. I don't know. It's a movable feast. And you'll find things that unlock the growth. You know, it'll be sort of linear for a while, then all of a sudden it'll still be linear, but all of a sudden the slope just tripled. What the fuck? You know, you'll find stuff. There's so much shit to do. This is so vast. Like I said before, if it's 12% of the internet, it means it's everyone. It's everybody, yeah. Right? Like to a first approximation, it's everyone. So what the fuck? So that's infinitely big. There's so much to do.
Ginormous.
Oh, my God. Of course, every day doesn't feel like that. It feels like you're slogging all the shit and fighting the fires and all that, and you can't see. It's hard to keep your eye on the fact that it's the Pacific Ocean, and you're a canoe, right? It's hard to think of that when you're sitting there fighting the waves in the fucking canoe going, what the fuck is this?
Hey, right, Brad, you got a soundboard option for that one? I'm just wondering.
What?
I want to see a canoe in the middle of the Pacific. I think we just found our we can't use anything on the aftertaste for the actual name of the podcast. That was brilliant.
I know, right? Speaking of which, though, I do have a
did
number.
We go through the names, what?
I do have a number of potential names for the show proper.
Oh, here we go.
Looks like I only have about 15 this time, so not too many. I also have a number that I know will not be, but I'll still read them off because they're kind of funny. I have about to sprout pubes. I have the problem you want to have. I have hating meetings. I have having sex with WordPress. I have sexy developer features. I don't know how to say it like Brad said it. But I have man of my own heart. I have cowboy code it. I have 1-point release. Every time you edit WordPress core, ... Are you a kitten lover? Segway master. Shameless plug and stupid human tricks.
I vote for sex with WordPress, and I'll vote for that every time it comes up.
Yeah. I think that's why you keep saying it.
What was the other one, the rapist one? That was probably not a good one.
Man, no. Yeah, that was vetoed. Was it? It was still said and talked about many times in the episode, but it was not accepted.
Gah.
Yeah, I was going to throw in a WordPress's jailbreak reference at one point, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to rise above that this week.
I appreciate that. Even though you mentioned it now.
Brad, you just did
I'm
it.
I'm rising above, my friends. We're at 11 now. We're mature. We're a mature podcast. We have to grow up a little bit.
That's right, 11 episodes. You know, you can actually almost double that.
We're not in the single digits anymore, you know? We're a preteen. We're a tween, if you will.
Well, that was last week. But
tween. He even used tween. I could dig it. Oh, man, I should have been drinking whiskey through my nostrils. Good times.
Mm. Hey, so what's the likelihood, Brad, of getting Showbot added to our IRC room? We need to do that.
Oh, I thought – well, you mentioned you were working on that. Do you need help?
Yeah, no. When I mentioned it to you, I should have been clearer. I want you to do it.
Oh, that's what I swear you. The way I read it, I was like, "Oh, he's going to have it working." That's surprising. I thought he needed my help, and then I was just like, "Cool." So we'll see what's working tonight.
Yeah, I'll be clear next time.
Okay, now that you've fixed that, let's work on it.
Mm-hmm.
Play around with it tomorrow. Some.
Yeah, I like that idea. Then we can.
Have you said anything? Or I guess we should go with show title and we'll talk about Showbot.
Yeah. So show title. So
I vote sex.
I know you do. How about I relist the ones that are actually potential ones?
Yeah.
Hi there. I'm Drew Armada.
Yeah, oh man. That's horrible.
I suppose sexy developer features could work it, or could work. Man after my own heart, cowboy code it, 1-point release every time you edit WordPress core. Are you a kitten lover is kind of funny. Segway master, stupid human tricks, shameless plug. Shameless plug is kind of overdone. We do that pretty much every week.
Well, I do it now. Just
it's our middle name,
just to piss people off more than anything. I'm open, Jason. Any suggestions there?
Yeah, this is the weird thing we do where I should have explained it, I guess, but we do it every show where something that we said becomes the show title, and we just kill. Basically, after show, usually a portion of it is spent going over these sort of notes that I've jotted down.
Yeah, we are. Without even thinking about it, finding ways to completely kill any traffic or potential for downloads. Yes. Of the site of the actual podcast for the week.
You know,
it's good stuff.
Since you bring up the SEO crap stuff, I don't know what it will take for us to rank within. And this is not a web thing. This is actually iTunes searches for WordPress. It blows my mind that nothing we've done will show up in a search for WordPress. Did you know that? If you're in the iTunes podcast area. And that's – I have no idea why that's the case. Maybe it's just a matter of time and then it will. But you would be – it'll drive you nuts if you go run a search how much crap shows up so far before any of our shows do. Anyway, that's sort of a side note.
iTunes is a mystery, I think. I don't know that – unless you're number one in something, I don't think you get much traffic off of iTunes. I think it has to be an out-of-band stuff.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I guess I've just knowing that there are people just opening up iTunes and saying, let me find something WordPress-related. And then to know that, of all things, our show or shows aren't going to be popping up. Just kills me.
All right. So I asked in the room here, if there's any other pointed or otherwise provocative questions for the evening. They started talking about how much money WDS and security is making. I'll leave this open to interpretation. Krogs, first that's a shit question, but I'll let you have the right to ask it. I have 5 kids, and I'm going to leave it there, bro. Not enough.
I have two
wait,
dogs.
Wait, who has 5 kids?
And I'm going to leave
it
right there.
Right?
That'd be Dre.
Dre, you have 5 kids?
Mm-hmm.
Sir, there's a reason we work your ass.
Not just 5 kids, 5 girls.
Yes.
Oh my God. Wait a minute, my friend. And you're in San Diego, you're in Southern Cal, right?
So Southern Cal, I'm just north of San Diego now.
So you have to make $3 million a year or you're dead, right?
Well, that's just me. Right?
No, $3 million is like living in the ghetto in California. You got to make a little bit more than that if you want to, you know, if you want to be middle wage.
Yeah, that's good times. Food stamps are awesome.
Mm. This episode is called Dre Steals Things.
Yeah, that's good stuff. He steals those kittens. It's good stuff.
Kitten lover.
Ah, man, no other good questions here. Come on, folks. Man, I'd expect more from this community.
Oh,
we're private. We can't talk about that. But to go back show titles, I like when I pick show titles, I like to pick titles that won't get filtered by a Kismet.
Yes.
And about probably a quarter of those show titles would. So I think we've had worse in the past, but I like the having sex with WordPress.
I know you do. I think that's one of those.
I like to believe that would make it through a Kismet.
Really? I like Cowboy Code It. I think that's pretty funny. I think the one about editing WordPress core fits because we talked about that for a while.
Wait, which one was that?
every time you edit WordPress core. Might shorten it a little bit. But.
Man, I'm really digging the canoe in the Pacific Ocean. That's just brilliant.
I know, right? All the good stuff comes.
Every time you edit WordPress core, Dre punches your mom in the face.
In your face.
I do have that kitten image in the show notes, though, so that will be there. Might have to make that the episode title or the episode.
So just so we're clear, 5 kids. Yeah. Because I've had, you know, this is now my third refill of Hendrix, and the glass is not small, so I'm just making sure I got.
Here's only the deal, one. Jason, I was in the Navy for 12 years. Okay, and you know, when you're overseas or deployed often, there's not much to do. Sailor pay isn't great, so affording a nice big TV to spend quality time with the missus is just not an option when you're a young sailor.
So to be clear, you had 5 kids to save money.
You had to, buddy. I mean, it's either that or you're working double shifts at McDonald's after you get off watch. It's not good. What are you going to do?
So what are their ages?
My oldest is 13. I have an 11-year-old. I have 8, 6, and a 1.5-year-old.
Wow.
Good times.
I just have a 2.5-year-old girl.
Ah, yeah. And I'll tell you what, they're amazing. That's a good age there. 2, 3 years old. It's so funny. The things that they're saying, the things that they're doing, the mannerisms. Wow, fun.
Wow. I love having a daughter, but I mean 5, Jesus, how do you even function? Your wife must be.
How are you on this podcast for two, three hours and not doing stuff?
Well, that's right. It's earlier there. I was going to say, cause it's late, but yeah.
Well, it came at a good time where we started really getting into a groove with this cause summer's coming. Usually after the show, it's a little bit of homework, make sure they're ready to go. And then, as they all hit the rack for the evening, it's back into making sure that everybody's happy in the security world. So it's a constant juggle.
Dre's got a well-oiled machine over there. When we visited after WordCamp San Diego a few months back, and I didn't know what to expect either with 3 daughters. And what was it? Maybe 7, 8 o'clock. They all put themselves to bed, and the older daughters helped the younger daughters, and. I didn't see him the rest of the night. I was like, wow, you guys have got this figured out. Because usually when I go to places and they have younger kids, they're up and the kids won't go to bed and they're messing with them all night. So Dre definitely had it figured out. He's been around the block a few times.
Yeah, you got to give that to the missus. Dre doesn't have much of anything figured out. He's just a canoe in the middle of the Pacific Ocean.
Every day I'm shuffling. So, but security, I mean, so how many customers you guys have now?
Oh, a few. We're monitoring somewhere around 60,000 websites right now.
So, do you have 10,000 customers?
We've got a few, Jason.
We're all friends here.
Hot or cold. 10,000.
Look at this way. I'm going to continuously give you guys more and more money. Like
we're going to continue to beat the hell out of anybody trying to attack any of your customers, and that's just the bottom line.
Wait, what?
We're going to continue to beat the hell out of anybody trying to attack any of your customers.
No, I know, yeah. But I mean, is that 5,
I thought you said attack your customers. I'm like, what?
So you have 5,000 customers or 10,000 customers? I mean, how many? Or 2,000? Like what? I mean, I get 60,000 websites. I get that, but you know, we have customers who have by themselves. They've got 2,000 websites. Like you know,
let's just say that's not multi-site. I'm just saying in single websites we're monitoring over between 50,000 and 60,000 somewhere in there. So the customer base is growing exponentially. You talked about hundreds of customers coming in and onboarding at WP Engine monthly. We're doing that, and then some at certain at a certain pace. Things are okay.
Okay, so you have how long have you been doing this?
We sold our first plan at the beginning of 2010, February. We became a company that year. We put our first version of the website out in service out of beta.
So do you have 5,000 customers?
what is the purpose? Why?
I think we've ranged from 5,000 to 60,000 here. What do we got? What do we got here?
I'm just trying to do the math.
Yeah,
we're doing all right. We're doing all right.
No, why don't you want to talk about it
on the broadcasted podcast?
Is it broadcast?
Well, I think there's a big difference between customers and websites, because you have a lot of customers that have multiple websites, right?
I know. That's why I said five. Well, I thought we were offline now. We're just chatting.
Yeah, it's after show. It's not everybody listens to it, but it's recorded.
Oh, it's still live. Oh, I didn't know that. I mean, now that I care, I'll talk about it.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's why you don't want to talk about it. All right, fine.
Yeah.
But we could definitely talk, Jason.
Get you guys. No, hey, look,
no, wait. I don't want to. I'm curious. I don't need to know something.
No, absolutely.
I'm just curious. That's all.
It's growing at a pretty good rate. We've been completely organic, and that was for reasons that we decided it was the right thing for us to do. And it's been very good to get a lot of our products out, and it's growing at a pretty good pace right now.
So 60,000.
It's a good business to be in. It's definitely a good business to be in, because there's no shortage of hack sites out there.
Let's say 10. Oh yeah, well, that's for sure. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and the fact of the matter, like, we used to clean sites as a company. It's like, it's just not cost effective. Like, people come to us and like, look, it's not. You're gonna spend a couple grand with us going through your sites for hours and hours and hours. It doesn't make sense. Like, go to Shakiri. It's $90 a year. It's a no brainer. The price point is, in my opinion, ridiculous. It's, you guys aren't charging enough.
Well, you know, it's both ways, right? Like, on the one hand, you're right. From the value, that's true. But then again, good companies are like that. You know, Dropbox doesn't charge enough either in that sense, right? Like, you got to deliver more value than you're charging, and that makes you, you know, Zappos is like that, Netflix is like that, Amazon's like that. Like, you know, that gets you that loyalty and that automatic, like, fuck, I got to do this, so you got to do that. So maybe you guys are doing 100 grand a month, maybe? I'm trying to fuck around and see if I can hit this. So I'm just gonna keep throwing out numbers, and then later when you tell me what it is, I'll say, well, I said that just because.
Yeah, there you go. I love it.
Yeah, now we're talking 100 grand a month.
Tell you what, shit just got real.
Rumor has it, Scurry's making 100 grand a month.
I need a whiskey.
You know,
whiskey.
People the last couple of weeks.
And they're hiring. Hey, Dre, man, what's going on?
Those that listen to the after show are really in for a treat the past couple of weeks, aren't they? Last week was like a 3-hour after show. This one.
Oh, that was hilarious, by the way.
I'm thinking 100K a month. That's my.
I left that's hour one, and then you guys are still like messaging on Skype at like 1 a.m. I'm like, what the hell did I miss? Still talking at 1 a.m.
Yeah,
hey, you know what, Sakiri, feed Dre's kids. Dre's kids is what we're going to call them. Protect your interwebs. That's all I got.
I'm going to go with cowboy
every
coding.
I'm shuffling. I'm good with cowboy coding, Ryan. That works for me. I think it's completely appropriate.
That's done. Yep.
Stay away from editing core files. It's a good thing.
Man, I say hack it. If Ryan says no, I say yes.
Yep.
No.
All right. I'll be right
how many
back.
How many
I am grabbing a whiskey. Hold on.
How many guys do you have at Shakiri right now, though? Like, how many folks are over there, you know, scanning stuff and jumping in and fixing bugs and all that?
We got right around 10 employees right now.
Uh-huh. Then I stand by my 100K a month. Wait, but you're in California.
This is a serious
maybe
you're
making 150K a month.
You're in California. Oh, wow. Oh, SoCal, baby. Because everybody in LA got a little bit of thug in them.
Not everyone has five kids, but even so.
Yeah, fair enough.
You know, you just figure like you have 10 people. See, now I'm backing out, but this is you said it. This is my usual thing. You know, you have 10 people. The loaded cost is at least 10K a month in California, maybe more like 15. And so, if you're paying these guys, maybe they're remote, so maybe you can get away with the 10K again. I don't know. Sometimes when people say 10, they mean like
that we're a distributed workforce.
Okay, good. So maybe 10K is back to good. So I'm right. So I'm still locking in my 100K. I stick at 100K. That's what I think it is. And growing fast.
So wait, are we betting odds here? Where's the
Well, I'm the under over.
Okay.
Over under. This is on the what they're making a month.
Oh shit.
Yeah, I think they're making $100K a month, or revenue. They're not making it. They're this revenue, and they have to pay all these assholes who know everything about security, and they're expensive. But they do their jobs. That's good. Oh, okay. Well, I'm still locked in at $100K.
All right. Well, okay. The pool will start in the comment thread of the after show, and we'll just carry that on.
Without disclosing too much, Jason, I will say that you're off.
Yeah. You told me something in the chat, and I won't reveal it. I'm just
totally backwards. Shouldn't we be guessing like what the guest host is making a month, not what one of the regular hosts is making a month?
That direction. Let's think about that.
I can take it just as well as I can give it.
How does that work for WP Engine with the investment they came in?
Uh-huh. Well, I can take it as well as I can dish it out. Go for it. Start.
Let's get it going. Come on, baby.
I'm happy to do all that shit. Like, you know, this is like one of those interview questions where it's, you know, how many gas stations are in LA, and you try to fuck around and figure it out, and you end up with 600, and you go, well, fuck, that's wrong. So go ahead.
It's just like that, except it's how much a company and their employees are making. It's just like that.
Boy. I think I do need whiskey.
Yes, you do. That'll help.
I don't have anything better to drink, and I surely don't have any cucumber. I'll be right back.
Hi there, I'm Drew Armada.
And I make $100,000 a month.
Oh, God.
Well, maybe, maybe not. I mean, he just said here that I was wrong, and I know which direction, but I'm not going to say because I said I wasn't going to say if he told me more information. I'm not going to reveal anything, but I'm still locked in, nevertheless, whatever I said, $100K.
We'll stick by.
But yeah, you make a run at what WordPress Engine is doing. Go for it.
On a month, let's throw some numbers out here. So I'm thinking, what's your base package? 50.
We have a 30.
You have a smaller one now.
We have a 30, 31. A 100. I'm rounding now. We have a 30, 100. A 250, and then we have customers that are much bigger that range all the way up into thousands of dollars a month. We used to have a 50. That used to be our low end, and we changed that in January.
That's right. 50 was kind of your starter one. So I'm thinking, let's just say on the personal level, let's say everyone's at $30 a month, whatever. Let's throw out number of clients. What are we looking at? I'm thinking around
how many
conservatively, maybe 20, or I should say not clients, but sites. Let's say 20. We'll go 20,000. It'd be about $600K a month. So I'm thinking that might be a little high. I'm thinking I think my guess would probably be around $500,000 a month.
Oh, okay.
And spread out across all the packages. I'm thinking around $500,000 a month.
I'll pull a Dre and I'll say we serve 34,000 domains. And just like Dre, I'll point out that that means there's fewer customers than that. Because some people have one, but some people have five, and some people have literally 2,000.
Mm-hmm. And then some might be on multi-site, which are covered on the higher package. Right. So wait, how many domains did you say there?
34,000.
34,000. So I'm going to take that number. I'm going to be conservative.
Or Tony, or whoever played that. I have trouble with the voices, of course.
I'm going to cut that in half. So I'm going to say, we're looking at 17,000 customers, which is still right around my mark. That's $510 a month. I'm sitting on I'm liking $500,000 a month. That's where I'm liking $500,000 a month on gross income, not revenue. But what you're taking in a month, I'm saying $500,000.
What? $500,000 a month?
$10 million.
$1 billion.
A bazillion.
Oh, come on. He didn't scare me away. I needed some more beverages. Jeez.
I like guess the numbers. Dre's I want to guess scared. How much WP Candy makes next.
Oh, jeez. Okay, did I mention that? Okay, so you guys, I don't know about. So I have 115 employees, obviously.
you have, well, how many contributors to WordPress?
You crazy?
And nobody will blog about what we're doing until like 2 minutes before we do it.
What did I tell you before the show? I said I have a.
Ooh, burn.
You were talking about Infinite WP, and I said I have them on sort of my scratch list, and those are the things that, that I could post about, and everybody's on that list until I actually post about it. There's no other. Yeah. Oh, thanks, Krogsgaard, in the chat.
Wow. Hey, way to put
so, on blast. So, Dre, you missed the flip side of this. So, we found out, Jason told us that they have roughly 34,000 domains hosted, right? But that obviously doesn't tell us how many clients because they have multi-site options and things like that. And the premium stuff that goes beyond that. So that's unique domains. So we're trying to guess how much WP Engine actually pulls in a month. And I went conservative. I chopped that in half and figured there's, you know, and maybe that's not conservative enough, but I figured there's about 17,000 clients, which even if at the lowest package, which is $30 a month, is about $500,000 a month.
See, I won't get involved in this part of the conversation, although I kind of initiated the segue there again, because I am segue master.
Are you ducking out?
At least for this evening. But what I am happy about is that Security helps protect against any malware that may happen in WP Engine.
Oh, gosh.
Wait, is this a good time to remind everyone that they can sponsor WP Candy Podcasts? Is this a good time to mention
that?
Oh,
and they should. They really should. It should start with the folks in the IRC channel. Mm. You know, $1 a day will help one of Dre's starving children
for the next
30 days.
Yeah, we should get some promos up.
All 10 of them.
We'll get some stuff rotating on the stream that has you saying just that. $1 a day will help feed
Hello,
my children.
I am Sally Struthers. Wow.
Hmm. Wow.
Jason, man.
I always speculate.
Put me on blast.
Keeping it interesting, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
For you, Dre.
I really like, I love that the canoe in the Pacific Ocean. I think it was a canoe, right? Did we lose Jason?
No,
I'm here. I'm just telling Tony shit because Tony and I are opening the commode and looking at each other's dicks and seeing how long they are. Well, you guys guessed at how many customers we have.
Oh,
it's one of those parties.
Yeah, it's one of those. And
sizing it up.
See, Brad, I underestimated you because I didn't realize that you would have an open kimono sound effect ready. To applaud just when that was mentioned. Very good work.
Well, I mean, you know, if I was in the sizing competition, I would. I'd bust something like that out, but I was not, so.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, Tony and I are showing all the stuff that we can't talk about. But yeah, I was telling Tony something that's actually useful for everyone here. And in fact, if there's some lost souls who are still listening to the podcast and made it this far, then as they say. But you know, one thing you can do to find out how people heard about you is, of course, ask how did you hear. And the mistake a lot of people make is number one, not asking, and number two, making a drop down of bullshit like Google Ads and search and word of mouth and some trade show you went to once 2 years ago. And it doesn't work. And the reason I know that is because at SmartBear, we did do a lot of marketing stuff. We typically have 30 campaigns going at the same time, and including things like postcard mailings and magazine ads and conferences and shit that's hard to track. So we had this drop down list, and I seeded it with some conferences that would make sense for us to go to, except we didn't go there. Right, so like little slugs, and it turned out those were picked kind of as often as all the other ones, which meant that people were not, in fact, selecting from the drop down list the shit that
interesting.
that they heard about us, but they were just kind of picking something to move on. And so the drop-down list is not useful. So then I switched it to a fill-in-the-blank and made it optional so you didn't have to. And nevertheless, 92% of the time, people type something in that box, even though it was optional. So you don't have to force them and all that. You can be nice about it. Now that you have the problem that people type in all kinds of weird shit. And on the one hand, that's good because you discover channels that you didn't know was there, like some blog post or some consultant who's sending people your way and that sort of thing. That's cool. On the other hand, you get people misspelling the same thing to all kinds of different ways, right? So another thing you have to kind of layer on top of this is you sort of end up with this set of regexes that look at the shit and sort of map it onto things that are a little bit more regular so that the big sort of main kind of pockets of stuff, whether that's Google Ads or WordCamps or, you know, in our case, of course, or that kind of thing, sort of coalesce when they ought to coalesce instead of not coalescing just on the nature of the ways people talk about it. So that takes a little bit of effort, but not that much, and especially if you don't have a lot of traffic. And you can always look at the things that don't match and like every month and look for new regexes to add in. The bottom line is then you can actually get some pretty good information about where people heard about you, which is amazing. And at SmartBear, we were so good at this that I was able to measure things like magazine ads, which, of course, who even talks about magazines anymore, but they exist, right, WP Candy guys? And it was so accurate. I could show you in our graphs the day that a Dr. Dobbs magazine hit people's desks because we would get a bump on that very day, and I could show you the delivery date of Dr. Dobbs, which is kind of insane for a magazine ad to know that kind of detail is kind of, you know, unreal. And it's because of that technique. That's it. That's what I did. We do that now at WordPress Engine. I think anybody can copy that idea and, you know, get some insight, certainly more so than a drop down. So there you go. There's one.
And I would say, just to kind of echo that sort of power of the optional, the number of, I guess, unsought signups to the WP Candy email newsletter. Much smaller case sample than what you're talking about, but just adding to common forms throughout the site the option to, oh yeah, and by the way, also add me to this list that you have. Everybody can easily add a sign up box to the sidebar or whatever. I mean, we have one. Everybody probably has one if they do any sort of emails on a regular basis. But if you have a contact form or if you have a support form, if you have whatever else, just adding that checkbox that's going to sync up and send that information back to whatever system you use, for me, at least, added a lot more than would specifically sign up, because you're catching them at that point where they're already, interacting with the site in some way already. I mean, I think there's a lot of kind of hidden power there when you just kind of think about, where's the right way to, I guess, interact with people when they're already talking to you. So I would agree.
So I got a question off topic there, Jason. I mean, obviously you're working with WordPress Engine. You took SmartBear from something pretty small to selling it for cash. You're a mentor at Capital Factory. How does that work, and what is your role there, and how does that kind of move on here in the future?
I was kind of the co-founder of Capital Factory, and I did that when I was just actually about to – I had sold SmartBear, so I could do things like that, and in other words, I had the time. And I hadn't quite left, although I left during the first summer of Capital Factory, so that was kind of interesting. So it was kind of easy at the beginning just because I was between things and so on, and I had lots of time. This year, but this year we actually have changed from a summer program into starting in January so that people could have demo day on during South by Southwest, which is totally cool, of course. That's nice for me. That's not why we did it, of course, but it is coincidentally nice for me because, of course, WordPress Engine being, growing so much and so on and so forth is taking all of my time. I don't have time for anything. I think I'm going to – I hope that I don't stop blogging, but it's getting to that point. I just don't have time for anything. And so just as well right now. And so anyway, it's been fantastic. There's enough companies that are doing well that I think financially it'll be good, but the truth is that that's not really why people do incubators and are mentors and things. It's not really to make a bunch of money. That's not how you do that. It's because it's fun and it's a nice way to give back, and it's interesting and rewarding and all that kind of stuff. And in that way, it almost can't fail.
I love it. You know, I've had some experience with Y Combinator. So that whole model, that whole investor piece really makes a lot of sense to me. It's intriguing to me. So it's exciting to hear, you know, firsthand from someone that's really been out there at a high level, management level, starting or foundational level with one of these. I'd love to learn more about that.
Yeah, I mean, all the different incubators are different and all that. I mean, what specifically?
I mean, for me, it's interesting. Well, and especially with the dynamics and the changes that I see with Y Combinator now, where each class or each group, it was very small at the beginning, and now to see where it's at now and the type of involvement that they have. How are they growing that? How are they expanding that? How will it continue to expand, and how will it be continue to be perceived from a public perspective in terms of their involvement with those startups that they're vetting and that they're bringing into to the, you know, demo day and so on?
So you mean Capital Factory in particular, or somebody, or some other, or incubators in general?
Well, I think incubators in general interest me. I'd like to learn how you guys are continuing to move it forward, and how do you see that growth happening? I mean, is it something that's going to be able to sustain and continue to grow, bringing in more people to each class that you bring in?
So the answer is that when we say a summer program, that's what we mean. At the end of the summer program, it's over. So
sure.
As time goes by, we accrete more people and time becomes more dear. So that's one answer to that, is that it doesn't accumulate. Of course, it does actually accumulate, but the way it accumulates is rather than it accumulating within the program, what happens is companies – I mean, the mentors will sort of naturally gravitate toward the companies that they like and that sort of thing. Right. I say like, that means many things. It means financially. It means the subject of the company. It means the people at the company. You know, that like certain of that just gels for whatever reason. And so they'll personally be involved forever with that company, but the program won't be. And this is good. This is, in fact, terrific. If you think about it, it's like if what the program can do is it is, you know, bring a lot of, you know, help to bear, both in actual money and in, you know, future funding if they need it. That's not a requirement. And in mentorship, and connect them with the people who do want to stick with them forever. Jesus, that's terrific. So that, to me, that's a good success.
Well, I mean, do they get well? So sure, naturally they're going to gravitate, or companies and founders that are going to come in and mentor these new startups coming through. They're going to gravitate to naturally the ones that they like, or you know, have some type of interest there. Is that typically something that the new founder or the new companies coming through the program are going to benefit from in terms of everything that they're going to need to really nurture them into that next stage? What type of oversight does Capital Factory have as far as making sure that they get everything that they need there?
Well, you know, you can't really force that. You can't make sure that someone gets follow-on funding. Right, you can do things like make sure you can make sure they get 20 meetings with different kinds of venture funding. You can help them get to a point and develop their pitch that it's a good pitch. You can have a demo day that brings in 250 people or 350 people, actually, that we do, which is what we do. Like, you can facilitate a lot of stuff, but you can't force an investor to write a check to somebody else if that's indeed even what they need. And so yeah, I mean, it's you can't guarantee that. You can't force that. So, you know, what you can do is give time to people. You can try to force some of these conditions to occur so that they have a good shot at it, more so than most people get who want the shot.
Well, and I think at that seed stage, I think that was more in terms of what I was talking about, in terms of the time spent making sure that everything's in place where they need to be for any potential, you know, funding down the road or what have you. you've got mentors coming in, I'm sure they're trying to help him in specific areas around their company, right? And the growth around that, maybe helping them position things in a way that they're not currently positioning. And that's more along the lines of what I meant. What type of oversight does Capital Factory or that type of incubation environment have in terms of making sure that those companies that are in the program have those right pieces to maybe get them to that next level and hopefully put them in a position for investment?
Yeah. So that is what we do. That is what we do during the summer. So we do our best to do that. And I think our demo day videos are available so you can see for yourself, you know, whether those companies seem pretty interesting and whether the pitches seem good and all that, which, you know, the good pitches are funny. Like all these incubators focus on pitches and focus on demo day where you give your pitch. And it can seem kind of shallow. Like, who cares about the pitch? Is the company good or not? You know, is the team good or not? Is the problem interesting or not? And is the solution good or not? And all that. But the reason why the pitch is in fact interesting is not for the theatrics, although that's kind of interesting or entertaining maybe, but because what you find is if you ask someone to pitch their startup to you just on the you know, just immediately, as I do all the time, what happens is they don't do a good job, not because they're not good at presenting, but because either they're not really clear on what it is that they're doing. They're not really clear why people do or will give them money, and they're not really clear what the problem and pain is, and so on. In other words, it's a bad pitch is typically indicative of the business is not gelled, or the person who's running the business doesn't have a clear mind of exactly what they're doing, how they make money. And so the reason why a good pitch is interesting is not the theatrics, but because all of those questions have at least have been answered. And you're clear what it is that you are or are not investing in the first place. And so that's why the focus on the pitch.
I can dig it. I had a run up at YC, so it was pretty interesting to see how that all works. Very interesting setup and how they kind of push companies out. And I mean, you see a lot of successful companies coming from these incubators that are out there. To me, it's how do they continue to scale the incubator? And that's circling back around to my initial point is you see YC where initially they had, I don't remember how many per class they had, but now heck, every cycle they put through it, I think they put two a year. It's record numbers of companies coming through that. And that's just a phenomenal thing that you see coming through that.
I don't think you can scale the incubator. I don't think that humans scale in that manner. I don't think mentorship scales. I think a person can mentor a couple of companies and that's it. So, I suppose you can get a whole bunch of mentors, and if you're really good, maybe all those mentors are stellar, but again, that doesn't seem to scale. That won't typically scale either. So I don't think they can scale. So like a Capital Factory, we do 5 companies a year, and that's it. And so if we have 20 to 25 mentors that are carefully picked and 5 companies that are carefully picked, then we don't have to scale, and that's not its purpose. And I think a lot of incubators feel that way, and that's healthy. And I feel like there's incubators like YC that don't feel that way, and YC is not really an incubator anymore. And for sure, example, you know, at their last demo day, 2 of the companies joined a week before demo day, which means they were not mentored. They were just sort of in there because it's a thing, and that's okay. That's what that is. It's way better than an MBA, you could say.
I'd love to see something like that at a WordCamp, like almost like American Idol style, like have a panel of judges, you know, a quick pitch and then kind of critique the pitch and what we liked, what we didn't like, and maybe get the audience's vote on it. You know, that'd be kind of fun to do.
Well, that was kind of leading into my next point is do you see some type of organization or maybe vetting environment, maybe an incubator for WordPress specific type organizations or company services at any point in the near future?
So wait, services for what?
WordPress specific. Being where that ecosystem is going.
Well, you mean with regard to investment and incubators in particular, or just in general?
Incubators in general, or incubators, not so much in general. I think that's a whole different challenge.
Well, so WordPress is a funny space for an investor, It's not a funny space for people. There's thousands of people making good money in WordPress, like Security. But anyway.
Well, remember that we're platform independent, so we're not tied into WordPress specifically.
Yeah, but still. it's a funny space, though, because when you look at who is in the space that is making real money, because remember, investors are not interested in businesses that support four people and pay for college, right? They're interested in things that can be big, like Automattic could maybe be big. That's the kind of things they're looking for. And that's not for that's not because they're right. It's just right in the sense that that's the only way to build a business. Of course, that's not true. But as an investor, you want to make a return. You don't make a return unless the business gets big. And so they're only interested in big in businesses that want to get big and can get big. And the weird thing about WordPress is this, that the space is huge in the sense that there's millions and millions of blogs and all the shit going on, and it's a whole ecosystem, yada, yada. But there's not a lot of money in big companies in WordPress yet. And in fact, Automattic is not a success story. Again, like, here's a company. It's had to go through a couple of rounds of funding to get cash flow positive. It's the Microsoft of the space, and yet it's making 50 cents per user per year. Microsoft doesn't have numbers like that. You know what I mean? Like, it's the huge gorilla Google, Microsoft, Apple, whatever kind of analogy you want to make, and it's not making that much money. And then you look at, okay, so who are the other big guys? And you're like, well, like who? Who's even close to Automattic? Who's making $45 million a year like Automattic? In WordPress? The answer is nobody. Okay. So you start looking down the chain in terms of just amount of money made, and you find things like WooThemes and us and Pagely and maybe ZippyKid soon and stuff like that. And you're like, well, but even so, all of us, I include myself. Well, I mean, right now our growth curve is good and the space looks good and all that. So right now it looks pretty good. But like just in general, you're just like, there's no big winners. There's no Facebook, there's no Microsoft, there's no Apple, and even the one that should be the Facebook and the Microsoft isn't. And so as an investor, you kind of look at this like, yeah, I guess there's a lot of people in the market, but where's the money? And the money's clearly in consulting and you know, there's stuff. There's like ways to make money in WordPress, a billion ways to make money in WordPress, but like where's the investor way to make money where a company is making automatic-sized revenues? And it's hard to find that.
Well, you hit it on the head from my perspective because, at least from Dre's take, that is my exact take on this, the whole scenario. So I appreciate your discussion points there. Dead on, man. Although, remember, Security is not WordPress specific. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Oh, I know. But so you're right. I shouldn't have said you know what? The thing is, it's rose-colored glasses. I'm so steeped in WordPress. Everything I see is through. So, you know, of course, we use Security. We use Security against all of our customers. We're proud of that. It's helpful like crazy. In fact, just today, we needed them. I think maybe the customer today was already a customer of Security, but it doesn't matter because either way, Security was there on the scene. That's the only thing that matters to me anyway, is that they're a terrific partner and they're there and fixing stuff, and it's fantastic. And I think I said it already, but you're crazy if you don't have something like Security, either via, you know, being a customer of ours, I suppose, or just having a contract with Security. I mean, it's so cheap and it's so important, and those guys are so great, and sort of the model that they use is right. And anyway, but.
Wow, we have officially changed this to WP Security Night.
So I think no, it is.
Thank you for the kind words. I do appreciate that.
But the point is that an investor would look at this and go, well, I don't see the evidence that this is a space where big companies flourish. And so are they right or wrong? Who cares? Right? Again, like in other words, for any given company, who cares what they think?
Right.
Right. Who? That's true. Who cares what they think? But just going, working backwards from the incubator model, like you said, and how will there be a WordPress incubator? The fact is that for an investor, it actually doesn't make sense to have a WordPress incubator. Even though, as a human being, I think that it does make sense to have a WordPress incubator, and it'd be really cool. And I think there's going to be success stories. I think like you're going to fast forward 3-4 years, you're going to find lots of companies. Well, I say lots. You're going to find enough companies that have, double-digit million-dollar per year recurring revenues. Let's put it that way, if you follow that, in WordPress. Yep. And then investors are going to go, oh, look, this is an interesting space. And, of course, they'll be late, and that's how that works. But some of them are forward-thinking, and some of them invested in us, of course, and some of them invested in Automattic. And they don't need to invest in WooThemes. They don't need to invest in security because they're doing well. I don't think I'm revealing anything to say that they're healthy companies that don't need investment. And in fact, we didn't either. We were actually profitable at the time that we took investment, so we didn't need to take investment. But we saw a bigger opportunity, and we wanted to try to attack it faster. And
it really comes down to timing at that. You know, from that perspective, what is that growth? You know, or that aggressive growth opportunity look like? Does it make sense? You know, you're probably analyzing everything under the sun at this point to ensure that everything looks right, so that the decision makes sense to me in terms of how can I continue to grow this, or how can I inject a really big growth cycle here? Because if you're already profitable, that's great, but you saw some potential there in terms of where it could really be.
Yeah, and growing fast, I think that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, growing fast costs money. And
sure.
For some companies, it doesn't cost as much money because there's fewer costs in supporting a particular customer, and you don't have to hire ahead as much, and so it's less expensive to grow. But we're not that kind of company. So in other words, if we need to grow fast, then we need to have – for example, all our servers and stuff warmed up ahead of time so that when people sign up, they're already on a place that is ready for them and not saturated with other customers. That means we have to have a hardware allocation ahead of time. That costs money. Then you say, well, if we signed up 1,000 customers where we normally sign up 300 customers, whatever time frame that is, we'll be overloaded in tech support and give really terrible tech support. So we can't do that. If we think we're going to grow like that, then we need to hire ahead in tech support, have the people already here and trained and all that. And of course, it takes time to hire and it takes time to train and all that.
Well, there's a cycle there, right? You know, I hire you today does not mean that you're going to be an asset that's – or a resource that's completely usable until that training is in place. So.
Right. So you have to find and hire and have that person around for months before the volume catches up to them needing to be there in order to have a smooth growth, right? And so that's another cost. And you don't get that money back. That's another thing that's interesting about working capital. You don't get it back. It's not like 3 years from now you somehow make it back. It's just you had to – you know, you hate to use the phrase burn money because it sounds like you're doing something dumb or bad, and of course it's not bad. You're just trying to grow in a way that's a little more responsible and good for your customers, in truth. But you're burning money. Like, you're never going to make the salary back, and that's good. That's investing in your company. But nevertheless, it's burning money. And investing in infrastructure with stuff like building some of the things we have and some of the things we're going to announce soon, that's also things that you know, you're investing in, hopefully make it back over a long time. But at the moment, it costs money because you're not making money right now from the effort that you put in like you do when you're a consultant. So growing faster means you have to have more money to just put in that you're not going to see back again. And so it costs money to grow. So that's the kind of things that we were considering when we took money to say, we want to grow faster. We think we can grow faster. We want to invest in the platform. We want to do all these things. And so we need more money, though, if we're going to grow at that rate. If we don't grow at that rate, we don't need the money, but we think we can and should. So that's what we did. But you have something like security where, you know, again, like without revealing any secrets that Tony has sent me over.
Oh, here we Skype, go. So Tony's diming me out.
It's a good company. They're growing too. They're healthy too. They make money too. They don't need investment to grow. They don't have servers. So, for example, they don't have servers to pay for, so it doesn't matter. So all that cost is not there, and all that front-loaded cost is not there. And they do need to hire security people. They always are, as was said on this podcast, of course. And that's fine. But, you know, I'm just guessing now, but I'm going to throw out there that security can onboard 1,000 customers and not need to have hired someone ahead of time for that. Whereas we do.
I'll confirm that. That's correct.
Yeah, but we do. Now, you could say, well, then their model is better, and I would not argue. Their model is better because the costs are better scaled. That's true. That's true. I wouldn't argue that for a heartbeat, for a second. So, yeah, that's good. So, yes, Smart Bear model, again, my last company, also similar in that we didn't have these sort of direct customer costs that we do as a hosting company. So what's interesting is, like, the ongoing costs for an existing customer are not very high for us. But the initial onboarding costs are very high because people have lots of questions, and you can have as many FAQs as you want, but still people have questions and need to be talked to about stuff, right? And those
are often, like, costs that are overlooked, and that is right. Something that needs to be accounted for, because that's mm-hmm. people's time and knowledge, and you're definitely going to pay for that.
Right. So we have a lot of front loaded costs, and on the other hand, we don't make our money up front. So for example, Securi charges annually, but we charge monthly. So we don't get all the money up front. And you could say, you should offer a discount to get the money up front, and you wouldn't be wrong. And maybe we'll do that, hint hint. But nevertheless, we make the money back month over month over month, and yet a lot of the cost is front loaded. Again, costs money. Now we're gonna make that money back over time, right? Because if someone stays with us for 3 years, we'll make a certain amount of money, and good for us. But we incur a lot of the costs right up front. And so, again, it eats money in the now. And so it takes money to drive that. But, in all of those things, you could easily argue with me and say, well, how can you fix that problem? And can you front load how much money they give you? And can you do this? Can you do that? And you'd be right. But one of the things we're not willing to do is stuff like put, 1,000 customers on one piece of hardware, which I know for a fact that, of course the shared hosting companies do that. Everyone knows that, but you're not paying that much. So what the hell? But I know our competitors do that sort of thing as well. We're just not willing to do that. Like the scale and performance that we claim, you just need, technology is important, and so is hardware. And we believe in that. And so it may make the model, the percentage of this and the percentage of that might be a little different for us, and not as favorable for us in the bottom line. But we just believe that that's the right thing to do. So we do it. And, in the long run, we'll make money. It's okay. Of course we do make money, but, we also do things like sponsoring 2 WordCamp a month, which is a lot, and sending people there, which is a lot. And like was mentioned earlier, doing free blogs that costs money, like all this stuff costs money, but we feel like it's sort of the right thing to do, or a good thing to do, a nice thing to do. So we're willing to do that.
I was wondering, do you play softball at all? Totally random.
No, I used to play Ultimate Frisbee, and then I had a kid and cut out most extracurricular activities like improv comedy and Frisbees.
So you did improv comedy. Is that what you're telling me?
I'm a graduate from the Coaltown Conservatory here in Austin, and I was in a troupe for a couple of years, yeah.
Coaltown Conservatory. Is there anything on YouTube with you at the Coaltown Conservatory? That would be brilliant. I need to put it online. It would be awesome.
There is, and I'm not going to tell you where it is.
Okay. So remember, I have a bunch of security geeks working for me. This works. Thank you. I won't post anything without prior knowledge or your prior knowledge, but that interesting. So what was that all about?
Well, my wife signed me up. She said this would be fun. It was.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You don't really want to talk about it, do you, Jason?
No, I'll talk about it. It's fine. That's one of the places where I learned that being honest is what works. It works in comedy. It works everywhere, I think. It's sort of a thing I've been on this year. I do one presentation a year and give it at a couple of conferences. So I don't really have, I try to, put a lot of time into one and then I have to give the same one over and over again because I don't have time to do a lot of them. This year's on honesty in business, and I think that you make more money if you're honest. And I have a lot of data actually to show that you make more money. And I think a lot of that actually came out of improv, which is not in the presentation, but I think it's true that, decoupling the filter from your brain to your mouth and being honest and all that is useful. One of the things you learn doing comedy on a stage where the lights are bright, you can't see the audience and all that, is the audience is actually rooting for you. Like, no one wants you to fail. Like, you feel that, especially you go up there and do stand-up, which is perhaps the worst. I don't know, maybe stand-up, maybe improv's the worst because you don't have a script. But you go up there and everyone's watching and you're like, fuck. You know, all I can do is fuck this up. It's really hard to be funny on demand, and it's really easy to fuck it up and all that. But the fact is that the audience wants you to succeed. They're on your side, in fact. I think that's true in life in general, actually. That in general, people are, you know, want this to be true. Like, when people call, even when someone's talking to a sales guy at WordPress Engine, they want this to work for them. They want this to be the right solution, right? They don't want it to be fucked up. And so it's true. So, like, even in improv, when you mess up, if you own that and sort of, like, in metaphorically point to it and say, fuck that, I'm going to do this anyway. This is cool. This is funny, actually. People are totally there. Some of the best laughs you get are when something fucks up. And people just look at you like, now what? Now what? You're uncomfortable because it's fucked up.
But there's a whole lot of beer doesn't hurt with that either. I'm just saying.
That's true. But it works. And I don't know. So I feel like I learned a lot, grew a lot. It's completely the opposite of programming and business, obviously, which is what I like. And in that way, it was also interesting. So it helps you talk while listening at the same time because you do that on stage as well. And it's very interesting. It's very fun, and it's a very inclusive community. It's very much like, just come in, everything's cool. If you think about it, it kind of has to be. You get on stage with no script and everyone's staring at each other. You better support each other, be into each other, be paying attention to what each other's doing and saying yes to whatever that is and moving on. Because otherwise, what the fuck are you going to do up there, right? So it sort of
it's really very similar to the kind of the culture or subculture that we're in terms of WordPress and what we do from a community standpoint, that collaborative type nature, it needs to work all in unison, or we have a lot of ripples along the way.
Yeah. Well,
not.
I don't know. It seems to be relevant to a lot of things that I experience, and but I don't want to, you know, I don't want to say that. I don't want to draw too many metaphors that are bullshit. You know what I mean?
Wow, I'm so bullshit. I can dig it. What's that, right?
I was just saying, digging it.
Digging the bullshit?
Digging the bullshit. Digging right in.
Digging. Good deal. Well, I'll tell you what. We're going on, 3 hours here?
Yeah.
Good times.
Well, that's because I can't stop talking. Well, listen, I'm happy to come back anytime, talk about whatever, WordPress, startups in general, all that kind of stuff. I'm good for it.
That's awesome, man. I appreciate you coming on tonight, and we'll definitely be calling you back on before long. And we didn't quite surpass the episode length in after show length, but it's pretty solid. was that Brad, or was that one of you guys?
That'd be Dre.
Okay.
Dre's the Yankees are winning. They're beating the Angels.
Now, Jason, I think it was about 30 minutes into the pre-show, or into the after-show, sorry, when you realized we were still recording. Is there anything I should go back and edit?
No.
Okay, making sure.
I'm looking up all the way. You know, I believe, you know, like, you know, write every email as if it's going to be forwarded to everyone. And
say shit. Oh, wow, good point.
Say shit on a Skype call and a recorded podcast that will be repeated somewhere. Somewhere indexed by Google, right? So, no, I'm good. You know, I don't hide, you know, anything.
Good deal. I just wanted to, you know, be polite, make sure. Good deal. I see somebody tweeted that the loud horse scared her. Polly tweeted.
I did my job. That's the only reason I'm here.
That the loud horse was scarier.
Horse noises, or noises in general, I should say.
Scarier than modifying core is what she said on Twitter. I don't know about that, but it can't give you a start.
Harry.
Techno Sailor joins the chat room.
Well.
All right, guys, I'm dropping. It's late for me. It's after 11. I got to get some sleepy time.
Yep, I got to get moving myself.
All right.
Jason, man, thanks for coming on. It was awesome. Like you said, we'll definitely have you back on in a future episode.
Oh, for sure.
Well, anytime. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jason. Have a great night, bud.
All right. You too.
See everybody.
Bye.
Wow.
That, where's the thing with the stuff?
Are we off?
Just about. I feel like I should start that at some point to play the to properly play the after show off.
Yeah.